Welcome to Limitless with Lisa Z, a podcast about how to move from inspiration to action and bring our dreams to life. I'm Lisa Zahia, and each week I'll release two podcasts, one where I walk you through action steps about how to make your dreams a reality, with another podcast in which I interview amazing changemakers from all over the world. This podcast isn't just for listening. Take notes and take action. Let's ignite and change the world together. Hello, welcome to episode 2. I'm so excited about this interview with my friend, Valeric Molinari. Valeric is a performer, dance teacher, dance coach, and event producer located in Miami, Florida. Originally from Puerto Rico, she has a depth of experience on creativity, creating events, and how she followed her dream and became a world-famous professional belly dancer. Valeric, I'm so excited that you're here, but I'm going to start with the same questions I ask everyone. What inspired you today?
Something very simple.
Okay.
Super simple. I have a 14-year-old doggy, and she loves to do grounding in the grass. And it's something that I think I should do more often.
Yeah, we're supposed to do it,
we're
right?
Supposed to do it every day, and it makes a huge difference, but I just forget about it, right? Mm-hmm. I'm usually a person that likes to, you know, do some grounding actually with the sun, just to go out and get some sunlight. And then she just went in the grass and lay down herself like in the grass and closed her eyes. And it was such a reminder of like, you know, what a simple joy, mm-hmm. you know, of really just being there, existing. And my doggy grounding herself, I'm like, it's time to take my shoes off.
Did you do it?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Put your feet in the grass. I know I read about having to ground myself, and I'm like, well, I live in New York City. Like, I got to be careful.
You have to be careful.
That's amazing. You know, I think that dogs are very inspiring because they are literally like pure love in the moment.
Pure love in the moment. And it was a great reminder of like really not think about what time it was, like really empty my mind at the moment and just be there for a moment and with myself, with my breath, and like being in the present moment that sometimes is so difficult because especially like me, I'm like constantly grinding and like thinking about what are the things to do today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I am learning to take my resting time very seriously.
Yeah.
And it makes a huge time, makes a huge difference in my productivity.
What do you do, or where do you gather inspiration in general in your life?
In general, I have great friends, incredible, talented friends, relationships that I have cultivated through, you know, years of studying dance. I also did a bachelor in humanities, and I have kept those college friends. And anytime that I see the greatness that they're doing, I get inspired all the time. And I think in general, humans inspire me a lot. I have a lot of faith on humanity. I think like lately, the thing that has been inspiring me the most is the type of connection that I have created with my students. And the fact, you know, I was sharing with somebody last night about, you know, my experience with my students, and some of them came to my class that they haven't come in a while. And suddenly after the class, I was like, how are you guys doing? And then they're just told me everything.
Aww.
And it was, you know, so special that they have that type of trust in me. And, you know, it's really inspiring to know that the work that you have done has created an impact on other people.
Absolutely. I also, when I was teaching dance, I found students so inspiring because it's so brave.
So brave for them to also come to class, even though...
To walk in.
Yeah, to walk in after, you know, not taking class in a long time. And like, that's what I told them. I'm like, you guys, you know, I applaud you because you guys did it. You guys have been writing me for months that you want to come, you want to come, and you guys finally did it. So it doesn't matter if you took that break. The fact that you were like moving and decided to show up, it's big.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, Valeric, point of this podcast is to inspire people and have conversations about people who really went from like something I want to do, who actually have done it. Can you tell us a little bit about your story, and especially when you decided to come to Miami and come to the U.S.?
Well, I started dancing when I was 8 years old in San Juan, Puerto Rico, which is a very small island, but definitely we have a couple of celebrities, and you can tell that we make a lot of noise and we make ourselves notice. And I think it has to do also with coming from a very small place. And by the time that I was 13, I took my first belly dance class. I did not have the body conditions that ballet and jazz require. At the moment, you know, ballet schools, they were pretty abusive with their students. So I remember them. I came suddenly to a summer camp when I was in the moment between, you know, that puberty time. And I had a very voluptuous body, you know, my body, I have breast and big hips. And then suddenly I took my first belly dance class, and my dance teacher was super curvaceous. And I found her so beautiful in the way that she was moving and the way that those movements were different. And, you know, even though I was 13, I was fascinated by her sensuality and her confidence. And that's when I decided to completely drop from all the other classes and stay to belly dance. And I was totally obsessed. At the moment, like, I will practice every day. I was 13.
Wow.
So I'm very grateful to this dance because I kind of like evolve and grew as a woman with it.
Right. Wow.
And that was a very powerful tool. So I bought the Dolphina VHS, one of those VHS that you could get at Borders at the time.
Right.
And
Borders. Remember Borders? So weird.
So I got the VHS, then Jelena started doing more, and I, you know, continue practicing every day. Thankfully, my teacher, like I like to say, she was a belly dance junkie. So she used to come to all festivals here in the US. She was like also super obsessed, and she was very giving and generous to me. And she used to come to some festivals here in Miami, and by the time I was 15, actually, I came to Miami for the first time to a Indian workshop that she wanted to take at Middle Eastern Dance Exchange, which was a studio directed by Tamalin Dalal in Lincoln Road. So that was my first time really coming out of PR to take dance lessons outside of the island. And, you know, I remember walking through Lincoln Road and my teacher saying to me, "You know what? You will do great here." And I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, "You have the aesthetics, you know, with that Latina looking. You can be a powerful belly dancer here." And like, you know, I never even thought about it at the moment.
Did it feel like being here? Did it feel exciting? Did it feel scary?
Super exciting. It was like a different world.
Of course.
At the same time, you know, I was so focused in the dance that the city was not really the big deal for me. The big deal was when I went to the studio and I saw so many people taking classes, including men. So I was like, wow, this, there's an entire whole world out there of people that are doing this art form.
Yes.
And then by the time I was 18, I knew that there were some big events in New York, the New York Weeklongs, that, you know, dancers can go for a period of a week and train 6 hours with the best Egyptian teachers of the moment. So that was my graduation gift. So I told my parents, you know, as a prom gift, this is what I want to do, you know.
You came to New York by yourself.
I came to New York, listen to this.
New York City.
New York City, exactly. With another friend of mine that she was 21. Yeah, we came to New York. My friend was like that 20-year-old girlfriend that you had that, you know, she was already a manager in a store. So she told my parents, you know, "I'm going to take care of her." And like, I think my parents also knew that I was extremely passionate about this dance.
Right.
The discipline that I had, they really believed in me and they supported me. And they were like, "Yeah, take her to New York. You know, we're going to allow this to happen." And after that, it was very interesting because I started training with these instructors that were very challenging. I went to the class, and at the time, I think I was probably the youngest person in the room. And the joy that I felt dancing in this place with a live drummer. Like, I remember that it was the first time that I danced without inhibitions. I fully danced in that weekend the entire time. And I remember saying to myself, I want to do this.
All the time.
All the time.
And then being in New York, did it feel overwhelming? Did it feel scary? Or you just were like, I'm here. I'm going to figure out the subway. I'm going
to
figure out.
I am here to stay. Mm-hmm. You know, like, mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm not leaving. But it was very impressive because I remember getting out of the taxi cab and then hearing like five people talking five different languages next to me. And I'm like, wow, I'm in the capital city of the world right now. It I'm in the center. Yeah. I'm in the center of the world. It was also an important place for arts, especially performing arts. Mm-hmm. So I remember walking through Broadway and I'm like, you know, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
Like, I always had this sense of like, I'm in the right place. I know this is where I have to be. And New York accepted me really nice. I met in that event my first sponsors.
Wow.
So I made a lot of connections. All this community of ladies that were there, they were like, they were loving me. They were showing me a lot of love. Mm-hmm. I never felt any type of jealousy. I was, like I told you, like the youngest one. Even the teacher would put me in the front.
Aww.
So yeah, I was like, you know, when you get an experience like that and you are coming from a small town, yeah, and then you get exposed and then you get received like that, I was like, you know, I'm going back. I'm going to teach this to my people. But I knew that at a certain point, the island was going to be too small for me.
Yeah, it feels like this moment where the seed got planted. Like,
yes,
you know, this when you push the seed down in the dirt, there's so many moments when you just stand in New York City and you feel this energy. Oof. And that combined with like the dancing, I'm sure you were like, this is what I'm meant
this
to do.
This is what I'm meant to do. And I think my parents understood the type of joy that it was bringing to my life. Then the second time they came with me.
Oh, nice.
I think that was like even more powerful because when they arrived, everybody was like, oh my God, these are your parents. And they were very welcoming and they were telling my parents, she's a star. You know, you have a like you have a wonderful talent there. I think that was one of the moments where I really felt like my parents were like so proud of me. Like they were like, wow, like we're here. And after that, it, you know, for them to come to one of my events, it took like a few years later, but they were my first cheerleaders. They really supported me and they were really there. And I continued doing my bachelor in literature, which I love literature and arts in general. And at a moment, I was driving to take one class and my teacher in PR, this is when I was already early 20s.
Okay.
Probably like 21, 22. I was driving to take a college class. And then I made a U-turn and I'm like, I need to go to the studio to dance right now. Mm. Like I felt this rush of energy, put the music and dance for 2 hours and skip the class. And then I was like, you know, I feel something inside my body that is telling me that I need to be a dancer. I'm a dancer, you know, I'm not a scholar.
Right.
I'm a dancer. And I wanted it to continue like a master in literature because I love books. I love literature. I like to write poetry. So my plan was to become, you know, some type of scholar in literature. And then I remember when I finally graduated, I told my mom, Mom, I'm going to take a break from college. I want to give dance a try. I think I have something special. I have already seen the circuit that there's some dancers that, you know, were becoming very popular. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I want to know that much and I want to be so good that people fly me and they want to learn from me.
Because you saw that that was a possibility. So
yes,
when you said sponsor, that means there's people who see you and they bring you to their city, their country.
Yes, yes.
To teach. Okay. So you're in your 20s. You're like, I'm going to do this.
I'm going to do this.
So you start doing it. At what point are you like, I'm going to move?
Well, in 2009, I came to Miami. Mm-hmm. This is when I was 23.
Okay.
Super young. And there was a competition called, in a very new event at the time, called the Miami Belly Dance Convention. Mm-hmm. And the Miami Belly Dance Convention, even though I was not really into competition, I have already seen that some dancers were becoming very popular
from
through
doing dance
competing.
Competitions.
Yes. In the Miami Belly Dance Convention, there was a professional category that I have to dance with live music And then the prize was to teach the next day in the convention.
Oh, wow.
The next year.
Wow.
In the convention. And I'm like, this is all I need.
Right. You know? Here it is.
Here it is. I started training for about a period of 7 months, but like Rocky. But I also remember kind of like saying to myself, okay, Valerie, we're going to do this because we want to achieve this goal. But we don't care also about the outcome. We want to use this to figure it out. Where are you mm-hmm. in your dancing right now? What level do you have?
Right. So you weren't going to let the competition be like, oh, I'm going to keep doing this or not. Just going to figure it out. Plus, to train for 7 months is never going to hurt anybody.
Hello.
There's a couple things that, like, it sounds like you just go straight through. I'm in New York. I know I'm supposed to do this. I make the U-turn. What gave you that drive?
My passion. Mm-hmm. I think it's something that I have not lost. Mm-hmm. I'm very passionate about this dance. And, like, that's actually what really, you know, drove me all this time to mm-hmm. really move forward, is that I really felt like a need. Like, if I'm not doing this, you know, I remember doing all type of jobs, like working in a store or trying other type of way of earning money and not feeling like this is not for me, you know.
Right.
First of all, I don't like to follow instructions, you know, only in dance class. But I knew I wanted the world to see me. I wanted the world to see me. I wanted it to show the world what I had. I was not shy about it, you know. And when I did that competition, I also came from the ballet and jazz school that they were like so strict.
Right.
So I was very strict with myself. Mm-hmm. And by the time that I was already doing competitions, I was not necessarily training that much with my teacher. But I knew that I needed to develop my self-discipline. So having that goal of the competition helped me out to practice self-discipline and kind of like become my own teacher. And that was something that I kept with me, because I think discipline, it's basically putting everything else on the side. And actually, you know, that is going to be my main goal.
Yeah, this one thing.
This one thing, you know. And for my competitions, I used to improvise 1 hour every day. I used to do Vinyasa Ashtanga yoga 3 or 4 times a day to keep my body super flexible.
Sure.
And I used to do also weights. So like I had to do all this physical work to be able to push my level. And I think that embodying that made my mind stronger.
Of course.
Big time.
So you're at the competition. Mm-hmm. What happens?
So I went to the competition with my friend, the one that came to New York with me. The competition was huge. The event was huge. We're like 200 participants there, 400 people in the audience. But I wanted it to dance so bad that I don't even remember being nervous.
Wow.
But I think it's because I trained so hard for it. Mm-hmm. And like I was so sure that regardless of what happened, you know, I have learned already a lot about myself and as an artist. I went to the stage with this amount of joy that I still remember. And I'm like, wow. Now that I think back, I'm like, girl, you were really passionate and like so happy and grateful that I have given myself that experience. Because at that time, I even came to Miami with the money that I had already done as a dancer. Like I was teaching in PR. So the income for me as a dancer was not a big income.
Of course.
So I sacrificed going out with friends. I sacrificed so many things in order to keep that money for that special event. Mm. And then after I finished the event, I won the professional category.
Were you surprised or did you know?
I was like, I think I did very good. Like everybody, when I came out of the stage, everybody was like, oh my God, wow. Because I mean, when I go back and see the videos, I could see my energy. And later on, a magazine from Japan did an interview with me and she told me, you know, the other girls were perfect. Mm-hmm. Like they were flawless and they were perfect. but your charisma and energy mm-hmm. like took over.
Right.
And when I see the video, I'm like, gosh, technically, you know, it was not as strong, but the energy that I had,
right.
it was like very contagious.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think I knew that I had a talent and an energy that could make people feel alive again.
And that's the gift.
That's the gift. Yes.
And like, it's almost like all that training is so I can keep giving people the gift.
For
obviously
sure.
If my knees don't work, I can't do it.
Exactly.
Great. So you win. And then what happened?
I come the next year to teach.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what I did?
What?
I trained harder. I had to do two numbers and I like got into Rocky mode again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, now, because when I did the competition, I had to improvise. It was with live music.
Right.
So most of my training was putting the song that I was supposed to dance in different versions and like dance for hours to that song. So
right.
I could work a little bit with how unpredictable the music was going to be and like how for me to get better to respond at the moment, mm-hmm. right? And to be very present with the music. And then the second time, then I'm like, I created the choreographies
mm-hmm.
and like I really pay attention to every second that I was gonna be on the stage, and I worked super hard, and then I worked super hard also for the workshop that I was gonna give, which I did a workshop also. Like, I thought about it, I'm like, okay, if I'm gonna go out, what I'm gonna teach, you know, this is a convention that is full of dancers, and I'm like, well, I'm gonna teach them how to dance in different contexts, like the restaurant
mm-hmm.
and the theater. And I only had like 5 students.
Mm-hmm.
One of them became the person that brought me to Japan.
So important.
Like,
yeah.
Like, and that's the thing that I feel that all these events that I went through and that I pushed myself following my passion, they will give me like a little reward,
mm-hmm.
right? Eventually, Yoshie, which is my sponsor for Japan and became a really good friend, she could barely speak Japanese. She was the first one in the room. I got to the room where I'm supposed to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And then I only have like 5 or 6 students. I think one of them was Ariel, which is actually a top dancer now in
yeah.
Cairo too. And I remember seeing them, but I remember that each one of them, I was like, oh, they are really interested in me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really going to deliver my best, because even though I have 5 people here,
doesn't matter.
This is how I'm going to start.
Mm-hmm.
And then Joshie, which is the Japanese one, at the end of the class, she got the phone and typed a message in the phone. And then she told in the phone, she said, like, I want to go to Puerto Rico to train with you.
Wow.
And I'm like, what? The owner of the convention told me, hey, you know, after the second time I came, I just recently opened my studio here in Miami. You know, I want to bring new talents to Miami. And I think if you move here, you know, you can teach in my studio and I can help you out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, give me 3 months.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Let's go. When should I do this? And she told me, oh, I have this theatrical show, so you can come as big of the theatrical show. And that was September, and I move in May of the next
wow.
year.
This podcast is brought to you by Coaching with Lisa Zahia, a business development company which provides strategy, coaching, and staffing support to mission-driven businesses. We help create bold and impactful businesses and to help the founders become the people who can do it. Curious about how to grow your business? Schedule a free consultation at www.chatwithlisaz.com. www.chatwithlisaz.com.
So, you know, it's very exciting, but you were leaving your life.
Oof.
It's got to be really hard.
Super hard living, you know, even though Miami, I could still speak Spanish, but it was a different place. I was not ready for what was about to happen. I was very naive. I thought that things were going to be a little bit easier.
Sure.
I came here with $5,000 thinking that was going to be enough.
No problem.
No problem. $5,000, that's all I need. Thinking that it was going to be like Puerto Rico, where I was paying a $500 rent. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly here was $750 at the time, and of course, like a super tiny home. And I had to start from scratch. I didn't have any type of furniture. And then once I moved here, I realized I need a car.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was not ready for that. So I was very naive because I had no idea, you know, at the moment I was, of course, being a dreamer. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to move there and they're just going to make it happen. It's going to be wonderful. I have already had this acceptation and this recognition. And probably the first 2 years when I moved here to Miami were probably the most darkest moments of my life.
Oh, I'm sure.
I moved here. I had a contract and a non-compete with that studio, so I couldn't teach anywhere else.
But that was not paying you a full-time salary.
Clearly not.
Right. You're teaching dance. You have to figure out furniture, car. Yes.
Furniture, car. I spent like a good year sleeping in an airbag.
Wow.
Which destroyed my back.
Yeah, I bet.
It was a very dark moment because I think when, and she was a great school for this. Once I started commercializing my art form, it didn't felt like my passion was enough. Mm-hmm. And then people were not coming to my classes yet. I was having this online recognition.
Mm.
So I started to get contracts to travel to Dominican Republic to teach, to Mexico to teach after I won the competitions. Mm. We were the sponsors and the teachers that were in that first week long that I went to New York City. And I'm like, okay, I'm not making it here. I'm not making any money here as a dancer. But if they are flying me to Dominican Republic and Mexico, and then I had the invitation to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I must be good.
Right.
There's something that I have to offer, but I just didn't realize that nobody knew me here,
mm-hmm.
you know, in Miami, that I had to do like the work of getting my name out here.
Mm-hmm.
And that was going to take time.
Time and a lot of work.
A lot of work.
Did you find like just living here culturally, clearly there's a strong Miami Puerto Rican connection. I just imagine like a large American city would just be challenging to navigate.
Brutal for me. Brutal. Because I moved to Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And at the time, Hollywood was not too Latino. I didn't understand the culture. I didn't understand this materialistic fetishism. But it was a very different way in which people will relate. You know, you could go to work with these dancers, but you really didn't know them. You know, and PR is such a small country that, you know, it's warm. People know each other. You know, you're just going to see the same people over and over again. Everybody's your cousin somehow. Everybody's right. Related. And like here, I felt like very lonely. I felt like an island, actually. It was brutal for my spirit. I went through really dark moments where I was like, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. There were moments that were like, but, you know, deep inside, I'm like, you know, I'm very passionate about this. I will put a YouTube video of some of my favorite dancers. Also, I think that when I had the ovaries to expose myself to the world, there were these angels coming in. They always come. You just have to realize and recognize them. And I did have people that wanted to see me winning. I have people that trust in my talent. I have people that love my work. And those people kept feeding me in different ways.
So interesting, because it must have been hard also to be like, this is the place that I'm living now, a town where I don't feel as supported, but I'm getting all this support in the world.
Exactly.
Like, that's a very odd feeling.
Odd. Super odd.
What kept you going when you were like, maybe I should go home? Did you ever think that?
No. After I cross all of this, no.
Right.
I'm not going back.
I'm like that too.
I'm like, no. I'm going to figure it out. It's going to happen somewhere or the other one. I used to pass flyers and put it in the cars. Like, I did the physical work that I did when I was training for a competition. I actually did it. I went out. I went to different events. I reached out to different restaurants. I started to connect in with other dancers. Mm-hmm. I move away from that studio.
Right.
You know, I'm like, I cannot rely on this. You know, I have to, like, really go out and beyond. And, you know, the dance community really accepted me very well. Mm-hmm. Once they started seeing me also traveling outside,
right.
They were like, who is she? You know, like, let me give her a try. And then people start coming to my classes. And when I was working in the studio, it was a little brutal for me because she was very business oriented, but her advice was, you know, maybe you're not doing good, maybe start giving like the classes like my way. And I think it was something very generous that she tried to do, but it didn't work for me.
Right.
And I had so much information. I used to train a lot, so I have all this cultural information that she was telling me, you know, people in Miami doesn't really want to learn that. You know, they want to shake it and they want to exercise. And I'm like, but, you know, we can give them something more, you know? Mm-hmm. And once I moved to out of that studio, I started teaching more in the way I used to teach in PR. Mm-hmm. Because I also forgot to mention you, I went through some type of grooming also. Mm-hmm. I come from an island. So I used to come to the studio to teach in a bathing suit top, pretty much $25 or $28 a single class. So I did not have that professional polished look. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you cannot continue this and blah, 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 blah. While in PR, I had all my students come into class with their bikini tops. I mean, it was so cool. It was hippie. And then here, I just noticed, you know, I have to kind of like polish myself in a way for people to kind of like, you know.
They'll listen to you.
They'll listen to me.
That's a big lesson, I feel like, because people resist that so much. But sometimes I'm like, I will play their game so they listen to me.
Exactly. So I'm like, okay, then I have to do a Valerie Miami edition and I have to revamp my image. I did it in a way that I was like, you know what? If I'm going to revamp it, it's going to be my way. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to be a boutique hippie. Right. You know, I'm going to still have my essence. But it was huge. It was a huge cultural shock because in PR, you know, people were coming to my classes basically for me.
Right.
And that was not, the way I presented myself was never an issue.
Right. Was there a point, like, was it gradual or was there a turning point where you're like, oh, this is going to work?
I think that once I moved to Belly to Apps, that was a studio that kind of like told me, okay, the owner of the studio was very different to me. She told me, okay, I think you're great. I like what you're bringing to the scene. Just teach one class here. Let's see how it goes. And I did it my way. Mm-hmm. And it went phenomenon. At the time, I was like already 26, 27, and the other studio was a little bit more conservative. And I was telling women that they have to do their Kegel exercises to get in. And they were like, no, no, you cannot do this. You know, you're sexualizing too much the dance. You cannot mention this, blah, blah, blah. And I was like,
I mean, you should do it anyway.
You know, but why am I teaching this? You know, at the same time, you know, I want women to feel sensual too. Mm-hmm. This is also, this is the big elephant in the room. By doing this, I'm not sacrificing the art form.
Right.
And I went to the other studio and then I was in a moment artistically where I was also becoming a woman. So I wanted it to dance more sensual.
Right.
And I started doing that. And I had a lot of more mature women in my classes that I started encouraging them to do that. And next thing you know, in 1 month, I have 20 people in my class. It was a moment where I said, you know, I just have to really follow my voice, what I'm going to do. I don't need to sacrifice so much of my authenticity in order to be liked by others.
Right.
And who are those others?
Exactly.
You know, I want to have my tribe. I like these ladies. These ladies are wild as me. And then I just started to like really grow a lot. I started to get booked to teach in different places. My classes were doing super good. And then suddenly I became like ridiculously busy where I was like dancing every weekend. Well, I was like teaching the entire time. I still had a morning job teaching kids. I was like, okay, I just have to do this little by little, you know. It's going to get there. I just have to build my audience little by little. But I started seeing many results.
Right.
And it was when I finally did produce my first event where I brought a teacher from outside that I have another friend of mine that was a mentor, Libanis Simon. He called me and he's like, hey, there's one of my the teachers from Lebanon, because I have went through Lebanon with him at a certain moment to explore with the dance and learn more. And then he's like, I want to bring this teacher to the United States. I think you and I, we can do it together. You have already have a solid base in Miami. Do it in collaboration with the studio. The only problem is that the time that he can come is going to be St. Valentine's weekend. So he can be on St. Valentine's weekend. And I'm like, St. Valentine's weekend, Simon? That's not a good deal. Yeah. You can do it. You can do it. He was one of those people that I told you, believe it in me.
Right.
Like, he pushed me. And then he's like, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can actually, you know, give a boost to your career. And people can see how much you know also.
Right.
Because you can bring somebody new. I only had one video of that teacher.
Oh my gosh.
One video.
To sell out this workshop.
To sell out this workshop on Valentine's Day. I'm like, okay, let me see how I can make this happen, whatever. Got all the marketing material, prepare it. And that's when literature came to me and helped me out, my bachelor.
Yeah.
I started doing posts basically day by day, telling the story of how I met this teacher and what this teacher had, something important. I had 50 registrations.
Wow.
And like, it was the moment where I actually made really good money. That was the moment that I realized I'm a leader now.
Yeah, they respect
this
you.
This is a different type of responsibility also. But I also had mentors, like the owner of the studio, Adriana Echeverri, that she took care of me.
Right.
You know, she's like, you need to do this. You need to do it this way. Mm-hmm. People are going to be paying this amount of money. They expect this. So I did have a mentor that helped me and took care of me on those baby steps.
Wow.
And I listen.
And integrate.
And integrate, yeah.
So that happens. And then take me from then till now. What's the career trajectory look like?
Well, the career trajectory took a different turn. I think that through my work as a producer, I was able to find a different type of purpose of giving back to the community and giving back to the culture. That I'm like, you know what? I love this dance, but I also wanna, you know, return it back to the dance and the art form.
Right.
So my goal as a producer, and when I started doing the Lebanese Love Affair, I wanna bring light to artists that are maybe not that known in our dance community, that are doing incredible work and that they need the support.
Yep.
And Lebanon at the moment was starting with their crisis. I brought Pierre Haddad for the first time here to Miami. And then after that, his career developed a lot. And then, you know, he started to travel outside of Lebanon, which nobody knew him in Lebanon. I mean, nobody knew him outside the belly dance community. And he started to do them very well. And then I felt very passionate about, you know, I want to bring those teachers that I know they're incredible, but I know that people listen to me.
Right.
They respect my, became, I don't want to use the word, but some type of authority where I can bring new talents and push them just like other people did it with me. So it was a way to pay it forward. And then I continue also traveling, teaching and training other dancers. Little by little, I kind of like created this, I call it like a micro business based on my interest, on my dance form. And I used to have a studio, what was Belly to Ups. Eventually the owner told me, take the keys. I'm gonna give it to you. You deserve it. And I was like, okay, I cannot do this alone. I had an incredible partner, Kelly Rodriguez. We have Creative Hips. So I became a studio owner, which was not something that I really wanted.
It's hard.
Ugh. But I miss it so much, Lisa. Oh, never wanted it. Now I want it back.
It's so special.
It's so special. Community. You know, the community thing. And then I started to become very passionate about building community. And, you know, a lot of the things that later on I learned through business, I did it in a very organic and natural way. Mm-hmm. I think by following my passion, which was exactly what I did, and not letting anything literally
never
discourage me.
Right.
Never, never. Not a bad experience with anybody. And in that sense, I did have incredible mentors, which were my parents, that, you know, if I had an issue with a certain colleague or whatever, they were like, drop it. Don't pay attention. Continue focusing on your thing. It's not worth it, your energy and your attention. Having people that constantly tells you
that.
Don't let you continue with the drama makes a huge difference.
Big deal.
Oof. Because we can stay caught up and we continue talking about it and talking about it and talking about it. It's not really gonna do anything just to continue making you feel worse.
Do your parents come and see you now?
My mom and my dad used to come by the third festival that I did, that it started growing a lot. I called them and like a month before the event, almost crying. I'm like, I need help. You guys have to be here. And they were like, but we don't know what to do. Just give me emotional support.
Right.
I'm just gonna be a mess. I'm gonna be stressful. Please be here. And it was a huge difference because coming back to that New Year thing, I know that they did not expect it, that, you know.
Yeah, of course.
I was able to do something like this.
Oh, I bet they're very proud.
They're super proud. They're super proud. But, you know, I still see their moment when they're like, really?
Still?
You did this?
Still?
Yeah, still. But I love it. I love it.
I mean, because I think the thing that's interesting is you've done it continuously.
Yeah.
And never stopped, never let go. Like, put the vision first.
Put the vision first, and like, if it makes you feel good, like letting go the studio was very hard because I'm like, oh my God, I love this studio, but like, it just feels so uncomfortable. I don't want to even dance. And when I don't feel like I want to dance, something is wrong.
Mm-hmm. That's a really interesting idea. It's like, follow the feeling.
Follow the feeling. Yeah.
This is a question I ask everyone.
When I did tour to Egypt with some of my really good friends and dancers from here, from Miami, that we saw the sunset in the pyramids in a camel.
You were riding camels.
Riding camels.
The Great Pyramid.
With the Great Pyramids.
And the sunset.
The most beautiful sunset.
Wow.
I have ever seen in my life.
If you need a sign that you're doing the right thing, maybe that's it.
Also with the ladies that came with me, that most of them were like the top dancers from Miami. Like, I was like, because they were like, I want to go to Egypt with you. I want to go to Egypt with you. I want to go. I'm like, okay, let me organize it. I have my dear friend Sherazade. And I was like, okay, let's make it happen. And I remember riding and like being in the desert and seeing them with these faces and the sunset. That was one of my most beautiful moments in my life.
What brings you joy?
Seeing people dancing.
Yeah, it's so special.
Seeing people dancing. Doesn't matter if they're doing it well or wrong, or like, seeing people dancing, it just immediately puts a smile on my face, a big one.
I agree. I remember so many moments when I was teaching when people would be moving in unison and it just would make me really emotional. It's so beautiful.
Yes. And when I started teaching kids, I would get so emotional.
It's so fun.
So fun, you know, and like seeing kids dancing, especially because I teach preschool, creative movement to preschoolers. When I see that first kid that he doesn't want to do the class, and then suddenly by the third class, they start moving and you're like, oh my God, he break the chill. Like, he's out.
He's out. Because it's visual expression. It's totally amazing. So you've done all these things. Where does the thread take you next?
Well, I think I'm continuing to empower people through dance. That's my mojo the entire time. I have a couple of productions that now Belly and Stories is a production that I have with my partner, Alexandra Molina, where we're combining creative writing and dancing, which are two of my biggest passions. And it's a project where we put the dancers to write their stories and then they dance. And when we present the show, the audience hear the audio first with the voice of the dancer saying the reason why they dance, and then they see the dancer.
Wow.
And it's a project that I have because I really want more people to dance. But I also want people to understand the power of dancing.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And it's a project that I was like, it's one of those things that I am really proud of it, because I saw the impact that I created in people's life through it. So I want to continue expanding this project. I want to go on tour on this project.
Yeah.
Hopefully I finish on Netflix on it. Like, that's how wild and big I am dreaming. and continue expanding my platform and my voice. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been doing really good. You know, the online, the ability that we have right now to connect online.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. Like, I had a, tomorrow I'm going to do a coach with an Armenian woman. Fascinating that she is in Lebanon right now. And she wants to dance. And she was telling me about all the conflicts that she has to go through. And like for me to, for me that she picked me.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And that I am giving her like some coaching on how she can develop actually that as a business. It's really powerful for me. So the more I can make people curious about this art form, the more I can make people inspired to dance and reconnect with their bodies.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. So I have different platforms like Belly and Stories that I think are going to create that impact. And I'm going to continue with my festival.
Good. So if everybody wants to find you online, how do they find you?
Well, my IG, my Instagram is Valerique23. 23 is my number.
Okay.
Like Michael Jordan.
I was like, you and you and somebody else. Michael Jordan.
V-
I like it.
V-A-L-E-R-I. CK23. And then on Facebook, they can find me as Valerique Molinari also. And then my website is www.valerique with CK at the end.
That's Molinari
with Y. Yeah. .com.
That's amazing. Thank you for being inspiring.
Thank you, Lisa.
You are so welcome.
That's it, folks. Another amazing episode of Limitless with Lisa Z. I am inspired and want to give you the homework. Take some notes, take action, do one thing today that can move you towards your dreams. Got feedback? Let us know. You can write to us at lisa@lisazahia.com or visit us online at lisazahia.com.